Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Kathleen Jordan as my special expert guest. Ms. Jordan received her Bachelor's of Science degree in Food Science and Nutrition and a Master's degree of Science from the University of Massachusetts and Eastern Michigan, respectively. She is also a registered dietitian. Kathy has delivered many presentations for regional and national groups across America and throughout Canada. She has also presented to many sports, healthcare, and nutrition industry conferences and trade shows. Presently, she serves as the Director of Business Development of the Dietary Supplements and Functional Foods Program at NSF International. Good morning, Kathleen, and thank you very much for participating as my special expert guest on this edition of SNU.
Good morning, Corey, and welcome. Thank you.
So for the benefit of our listeners who are unfamiliar with NSF International, would you mind telling us who NSF International is and what they're up to?
Absolutely. NSF International is a public health and safety organization. Our goal is to protect public health, and the way we do that is by developing product standards, many of which become American national standards and sometimes international standards, and then we certify products against those standards. And we do this work in the area of food, water, air, and the environment.
Now, what does NSF stand for, that acronym?
Well, originally, it was founded in 1944 out of the University of Michigan School of Public Health. And at that time, we called the organization the National Sanitation Foundation because its focus was in developing sanitary standards for commercial food equipment. But over the years, the business has expanded to many areas of public health and safety, and we became an international company. We now do work in over 100 countries across the globe. So the NSF International is the current name that we use. We retain the NSF because we have millions of marks in circulation and have for many, many years. So consumers and regulatory folks and healthcare providers recognize that NSF mark. So it's really important. And many of you may have seen that. Actually, it's a blue mark, and you might find it on some of the items in your home, like dishwashers and refrigerators. If you go to a Lowe's, for example, you'll see it on the various faucets and plumbing, and then in supermarkets and other types of chain stores, you'll see it on food equipment that you might use in your home, on dietary supplements, on bottled water, on drinking water treatment devices. So there are many, many products out in the marketplace with that blue NSF mark.
So, I mean, somebody started NSF, and obviously they had a vision for improving standards. Was that because at that time the standards were very low or there was a big problem?
No, the reason to develop the standards were that if you were a company manufacturing, at that time, a piece of food service equipment, you might manufacture that and it might get accepted in one state, and then you'd go to try to sell it in the next state, and they would ask for a little bit different set of criteria. And it was very difficult to, you know, in the U.S. and back in the 40s, as commerce was expanding, to have a situation where there were different standards in different states. So the goal was to develop American national standards so that when you built your piece of equipment or you designed your product to that standard, it would be accepted in every state, which would make commerce a lot easier and also level the playing field. So everybody would be designing their equipment and building their equipment to meet the same standards. And the standards really had to do with construction and design, as well as sanitation, making sure that those pieces of equipment wouldn't impart harmful chemicals into the food or allow for unsafe levels of microbiological contaminants to get harbored and grow. So that was the beginning. School of Public Health and some public health officials from Ohio getting together and launching NSF International. And today we work in, like I said, in many areas where we protect public health, whether it's looking, you know, making sure that the drinking water treatment filter actually filters out what it claims to filter out, whether the dietary supplement actually contains what the label claims and doesn't have harmful contaminants.
So that's a good thing, and it's an honorable thing. So we have to recognize that NSF, their intentions are quite honorable.
Yeah, it's great because it's a public health and safety organization. It's independent. It's a not-for-profit, non-governmental, and it really does serve to protect public health.
Now, what about your own involvement in the industry? You're a registered dietitian and your background studying science, nutrition. What is your interest in that area on a personal level?
Well, on a personal level, I do come from a very science-oriented family. Pretty much everybody in my family is involved in some field of science, and I was highly interested in food and nutrition when I was in high school. And actually, when I was 15 years old, I chose the career working in nutrition and have followed it ever since. And now, I originally came to NSF International to work on some food safety programs, but within the first year began working on the dietary supplement standard and certification program. We had industry as well as some healthcare professionals, registered dietitians, as well as some indication from FDA that there was a standard needed in this particular industry, not only to protect public health, but also to help consumers differentiate between products and to be able to choose products that actually contain what the label claims. So looking at the areas of quality and safety, there's definitely a need. It fit very closely with the mission of NSF to protect public health, so we did move forward. We actually developed the one and only American national standard for this category. It's called NSF ANSI, which stands for American National Standards Institute, standard 173 for dietary supplements. So that is the standard which provides the evaluation criteria for us to determine whether or not a product contains what the label claims and doesn't have any unsafe levels of contaminants. And contaminants could be things like heavy metals. Lead, for example, sometimes shows up in a calcium supplement. Microbiological contaminants would be another one, aflatoxins. And we also make sure if the product is in a pill or capsule format that it will actually disintegrate in the gut so that it breaks down. And we have a number of different ways to evaluate the contents of a dietary supplement. We do it through evaluating the formulation. Every formulation that comes in is reviewed by toxicology. And then we also compare that to the label. We review the label to make sure it's in compliance with the federal regulations and that it matches up with the formulation. Then we test it. We test the products in our laboratories, and then we send inspectors out to the production facilities to make sure that they are following good manufacturing practices. So there's quite a few steps to certify a product to contain what the label claims.
So it sounds like your primary concern is to protect the consumer.
Absolutely, and to help them make a more informed decision in the marketplace.
Now, as director with NSF, you've got a connection also to sports on a personal level, don't you? I mean, before we get into the sports nutrition and the athletic banned substances program, I think it's important that our listeners know that you actually like sport and have a strong background in it.
I am one of those people that likes to spend a lot of time outside running, biking, swimming, rollerblading, and also I like to spend a lot of time inside working out at the gym. My background is I did play field hockey in high school. I swam in college, and I've been active my entire life. And I'm one of those women that's a sports jock, if you will.
Yeah.
I watch baseball, football. Hockey's my favorite, of course. But right now, you know, baseball's taking up a lot of my time. But I actually live in Ann Arbor, which is kind of a suburb of Detroit. So we're quite excited over here to see the Tigers doing so well. So I've been spending a lot of time watching the baseball, too. So actually, I do work very closely with Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball's Players Association with the Certified for Sport program. And I've also worked with the NFL, NFLPA, for a supplement certification program for them. And as you know, that we have a partnership with the Canadian Center for Ethic and Sport related to that Certified for Sport program. And that CCES is the anti-doping organization up in Canada. So they've partnered with us to help solve the issue of adulteration of sports supplements and dietary supplements that athletes might take.
Now, as you travel abroad and you compare the differences in quality control and manufacturing standards, do you see a difference in Canada between the United States?
Canada actually has an excellent set of regulations for dietary supplements with the Natural Health Products Directorate. And pardon me if I don't get this exactly right, but the way I see it, it's for natural health products, and it seems to be a category in and of itself. It includes products like dietary supplements, but also some topical things that we don't include in our regulation here in the U.S. And it's very specific to that industry. So they do have a really good set of regulations. I understand that the government is working very hard to be able to monitor the industry, but there are challenges there as well. Really good set of regulations, getting it implemented, is a little bit more problematic, but I understand they're working very hard on that.
Yes, indeed they are. And, you know, I'm concerned about product quality. That's very important to me as someone who formulates them but also consumes them. And like yourself, I would assume that you take supplements, and so quality and contamination issues are of enormous importance to you, right?
Well, absolutely. There are some products. I mean, when you think about dietary supplements, ingredients come from all over the world. Everyone, and you asked me about regulations in other countries, and I didn't really answer that. But they do vary quite a bit. Some countries have virtually no regulations. Some have extremely strict regulations where they regulate these products like drugs. And then Canada has a really good model. The U.S. has the Dietary Supplement Health Education Act, which is a fairly good set of regulations as well. It's just under-enforced. So there are concerns about quality, as, you know, ingredients are sourced from all over the world. Different countries have different regulations. People have access to supplements from different countries. They're not all going to be coming from Canada or the U.S. So I think it's really important to have the independent third-party certification and GMP registration programs, because it gives another way for consumers to make more informed decisions when they're purchasing products. So certainly products that have been certified have undergone very rigorous evaluation, and, you know, the products are looked at to make sure that if they make a label claim, they say a product, an ingredient is in there in a certain amount, that it's actually in there in that amount. So you don't have the situation where there's an ingredient that's in there in too high of an amount, because some ingredients could be toxic at high levels. And you also don't have the situation where you paid for something and you're not even getting label claim. Or you could possibly be getting a product where the ingredient, there was a mistake in the processing or whatever, or the sourcing. So that's the role of using looking for a mark on a product or choosing a certified product. By the way, in addition to the marks on the products, across our different programs, whether it's the regular NSF product certification program, or it's the certified for sport program, or it's a program for the NFL, NFLPA that we run, all of those products are listed on the NSF website, which is www.nsf.org. And that is the most up-to-date listing of certified products. Bottled waters are listed there, the drinking water treatment filters, the various residential kitchen utensils and tools that you might, pots and pans, and all those types of things that you might be purchasing in your daily life. All the certified products are listed at www.nsf.org.
Now, the Athletic Banned Substances program that's described on the site, how did that come to be, and whose idea was that?
Oh, it's really interesting. About, gosh, I'm going to say 2003, let's see, maybe 4 years ago, I was at the American Dietetic Association convention, and I had an exhibit there. We were exhibiting our regular dietary supplement certification program and presenting to dietitians what the program is so that they could advise their patients to choose certified products. And I met a gentleman that was working in the sports nutrition area. He was doing a presentation as well. And he came by our booth after, and he said, you know, we've been trying to figure out a way to help athletes know what's in the products, and we've been contemplating some kind of certification program. And I said, well, we had been thinking about that topic as well, plus we hold the American National Standard for Dietary Supplements. That standard, by the way, is also accredited by Standard Council of Canada. I don't know if I mentioned that earlier. So we decided that there was no point reinventing the wheel. Let's take the American National Standard and see what other requirements might be necessary to evaluate for the presence of athletic banned substances. So we went away from that meeting. About 2 weeks later, he called me back and he said, hey, you know, the NFL has been looking at this issue. Why don't you put a proposal together for a program for the NFL, NFLPA? So we did that, and I think about 18 months went by, and the NFL, NFLPA chose NSF because, number one, we had the American National Standard. We have our own laboratories. We have a history since 1944 of providing certification. We have the infrastructure to handle a very rigorous program. So that got announced at Super Bowl 38, and that was specific for NFL, NFLPA. What happened after that was a number of athletes, manufacturers, and other sports organizations began calling and asking for a program that would address all sport. so, and then somewhere along the line, I got involved in the World Anti-Doping Agency committee to address this issue as well, and was able to get a more global perspective and meet with other anti-doping, what we call national anti-doping organizations from across the globe, and see what they were doing, what their concerns were. There were a couple programs out there, some of them were just test only. And so I came back from all of that and got together with committees. We always do everything through the American National Standards Institute process of due process and balanced representation of stakeholders. So we put together a committee, put together a document, sent it out for review, got a lot of comments and input back, and took the American National Standard and added on to it to develop a program for that would address pretty much all sport. So that program has a number of steps over and above our regular certification program to minimize the risk that an athlete would test positive from taking an NSF certified for sport product. By the way, I tend to call the program now certified for sport, because that's the mark that's on the label, and that's what the athletes think about when they're choosing a supplement. You know, it's certified for sport. So we have a number of steps now that are requirements of the program. So if a manufacturer wants to participate, yes, they have to be in compliance with the American National Standard. The product has to contain what the label claims, and we do evaluate that. But we also make sure that from sourcing all the way through to the distribution, that no banned substances get in along the supply chain and in the manufacturing process. So we're going to minimize the risk in the first place that a substance could be there at all. And then we also go in and audit some of the ingredient suppliers. We audit all the manufacturing facilities. We have a special GMP registration program now for those manufacturing facilities, and it's called the GMP for Sport Registration. So they have added requirements during the audits that they have to meet. And we also test the product. In some cases, we test every single lot. So a company makes 24 lots of that product, we test all 24 lots a year against a very broad list of athletic banned substances. It's based on the World Anti-Doping list. It's not 100% of the World Anti-Doping list, because some of the substances on there are not metabolized in the gut. Plus, we added substances that might have been on NFL or Major League Baseball or other sports organizations list. So it's a really broad list of substances, and it includes things like steroids, stimulants, masking agents. There's several categories of substances that we do test for.
Now, let's talk about the CCES and IOC. Now, mm-hmm. I'm a competitive athlete. I compete as a natural bodybuilder and also as a hammer thrower in track and field. And both of my sports demand very strict standards of compliance. And I'm aware of the banned substances list. And we use WADA, the standard that you're talking about, the World Anti-Doping standard or code. Now, when I go to the CCES website or the IOC, and I love supplements, I use them, and I have enormous faith, and I derive enormous benefit from them. Mm-hmm. After reviewing and reading the information on those two sites, I'm left with a very bitter sense that they are very disagreeable and actually not encouraging athletes to use them. I mean, you've read the stuff that they have, yes, on the sites.
Right.
Do you agree with their position, and do you think that what you're doing could help change their position?
Okay. Actually, I've seen a change since the first World Anti-Doping Committee meeting that I went to in Montreal about 2 years ago, maybe two and a half now, where the stance was no supplements, to a recognition that, yes, athletes do take supplements, and we need to search out a solution. Now, from CCES standpoint, they've already arrived at that, and they've already chosen a solution. They don't condone the use of supplements, but they do say if your coach or trainer or healthcare professional is recommending that you use supplements as an athlete, you still have strict liability. You are responsible for what you put in your body, but if one of your coaches or healthcare providers has recommended the use of supplements for some particular need that you might have, then what they're saying is we realize there could be a risk in taking supplements, in that you could inadvertently get a banned substance. So the solution that CCES chose was to partner with NSF and to utilize the NSF program and guide athletes, if they are going to take a supplement, make sure it's NSF certified. And that, so there is a recognition that, yes, athletes take supplements. Strict liability still reigns. However, you know, you can minimize your risk by choosing only the supplements that are NSF certified.
Now, at the recent CHFA Expo East in Toronto, I didn't get a chance to see you, but I was there, and I was speaking with one of my colleagues who owns a sports nutrition company, and we were talking about the NSF and what you were doing, and because I think it's a very good thing, but he was quite concerned about the costs. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because if he's concerned, that means that all the other sports nutrition companies are also going to be concerned because they all talk to each other. So he is under the impression that the fees or the costs for getting involved in the program are so enormous that he's going to lose an incredible amount of profit. And I wasn't sure about the costs and the fees, but how would you respond to this kind of concern? Because obviously, maybe he doesn't know enough about it, or maybe he does, and maybe he's under the impression that it's going to cost more than what he thinks it's going to return to him. How would you respond to this?
Well, basically, you know, and I can't say exactly what it's going to cost because there's so many variables, like how many products in their line, how many ingredients are in those products, what kind of claims they make about the ingredients, how many manufacturing facilities are involved, how many lots of each product they produce every year, how many different flavors, for example. So what we do is at no cost or obligation, we provide an estimate. So we have a form on our website under the Athletic Banned Substances Program where a company can get an estimate. There's certain information that, like I just mentioned, things that we need to know in order to provide that estimate. Obviously, it is a fee-for-service program. There are costs involved, because we have to send inspectors into the production facilities. It is heavy on testing, but it also has the rigor that an athlete needs in order to feel confident that they can choose that certified product. You know, we've looked at this, we've examined it every which way to come up with a program that balances risk with cost. And there is obviously some cost associated with a program of this nature because it is so rigorous. And it's probably not for every manufacturer. But if you're a sports nutrition manufacturer and you're selling products to athletes and you don't know what's in there, I don't think that's right. And manufacturers put products out on the shelf, and they don't test for against the full list of banned substances they should be testing. They may not be doing any banned substance testing. They may be taking the word of the ingredient supplier. The regular GMPs don't address this specifically, this issue. So that's why a program like this is needed. And from my mind, this is a lot of work that industry should be doing in the first place. They should be doing that level of testing if they want to supply products to athletes. Because you're putting a product out on the market, and you aren't absolutely sure because you haven't done all of that. I wouldn't be able to do that with good conscience. So, you know, from our perspective, we are doing all that testing. Yes, there is a cost to it, but yes, it's necessary to provide that level of confidence that's needed for an athlete to actually choose your product.
Especially because we do have a problem and there is a concern, and if we need to change the state and gain credibility, there's going to be a cost to doing the business. And this is a program that's come out of necessity, not something that has just crept out of nowhere for no reason.
Absolutely, because you can see that across the globe, there have been various attempts to address this issue. Australia has a program. The Netherlands has a program. There's a program going on in France right now. It does not have the same degree of its rigor. But there are attempts to address this issue, but none of the programs have looked at it from every angle and really minimized the risk all along from ingredient source all the way through the finished product manufacturer and distribution. And I think that's so important because test only, something could get missed. We really are really taking a good hard look at, and I really, when you look at it, I think this is how every dietary supplement and sport nutrition company should run their business. They really need to know what they're sourcing, where those ingredients are coming from, what's in those ingredients. They need to know that before they start the manufacturing process and start putting those ingredients into finished products. And this program pays a lot of attention to that sourcing and traceability. It's not just the end of the thing, test the product and hope that we found everything. And it's impossible to test every single capsule and every single bottle. That's why it's important to have all those other steps in place with the audits and the formulation review and going back and auditing some of the ingredient suppliers and all the manufacturing facilities and affidavits signed by the ingredient suppliers and the manufacturers that they don't source or manufacture or distribute banned substances. And, you know, that's what sets this program apart. And, yes, there is, you know, there's going to be some additional costs for that kind of stringent, to meet that kind of stringent criteria.
Well, for certain, it's going to filter out the rats and the snakes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Which is a good thing, because there are those people out there that do own companies that don't really care about quality and do cut corners at every opportunity, and they should not be participating in this industry.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting because every industry has those types, and it's not just in the dietary supplement sports nutrition industry, but wouldn't it be nice to reduce the number of those? And I think you'll see that if when you look at the drinking water treatment unit industry here in the United States, we started a certification program in that area because a lot of companies were making false claims. And today, we have probably over 90% market share, and most of the companies are certified. The ones that couldn't meet the criteria went away. They're not there anymore. They couldn't meet the criteria. They didn't get certified. They weren't competitive. They went away. So now when you buy a drinking water treatment unit, you know whatever it says on the label that it does, that's what we test for and audit for. We make sure that you know that label claim is accurate. And so in this particular category, it's not an efficacy based one, but it's a content that it contains what it contains. And like you said, those companies that aren't doing the right thing, hopefully will just not be able to play in this market anymore. And they won't be able to put athletes at risk.
Very good point and very well said. Kathy, our time is gone, and it's just been a very potent time that we've spent, and you've really helped us to understand the meaning of quality, its necessity of creating a standard to keep everybody in check. And, of course, the good guys have nothing to worry about, do they?
No, because they'll probably get through this with, for those that are doing everything already, that just breezed through the process. Some of them are already starting to do some test only, and they're getting well on their way. Some of them have implemented a good set of good manufacturing practices. They're well on their way. So, and those, a lot of those companies have already come forward and inquired about the program. In fact, right now, we've got some products certified already, and we have about six more companies going through the process right now. So it's pretty exciting. In the next few months, athletes will have more and more NSF-certified supplements to choose from.
Very nice. Kathleen Jordan has been my special expert guest, and she is the Director of Business Development of the Dietary Supplements and Functional Foods Program at NSF International. We thank you very much.
Thank you, Corey. It was a pleasure being on, and I hope this helped the whole listening audience. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Right, bye-bye.
Now.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. 433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.